Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back to the show. Over the weekend, though, man, you talking about a stunner. The Minnesota Golden Gophers were 30.5-point favorites over Bowling Green. Now, don't ask me how that line came about. Nah, I'm not a Vegas. I'm not a Vegas line guy. But the reality is that when you lose to Bowling Green 14-10, something went very, very wrong. To talk Gopher football with us tonight, as he's done several times before, is Daniel House from Vikings Corner and Gophers Guru. He joins us now here on Late Night. And I want to start with just the obvious question, Daniel. How surprised were you not only that the Gophers didn't bludgeon Bowling Green, but the fact that they actually lost the game at home?
I couldn't believe the offense played so poorly, Lake. And it comes back to the rhythm. They haven't been able to find it all year. When you're a heavy early down rushing team, it's much easier to defend you. I mean, the Gophers, they're a 75%+ team rushing the football on first down. It's carried over into second down. In that game, they were running the ball at a near 80% clip on early downs. And that makes it very difficult, very easy for an opposing defense to defend you because your play action is less effective, your predictability is higher, it's not really influencing the second level defenders, getting them out of alignments, and makes your whole offense not really have a flow. And I've done a lot of research over the years, and the teams that are closer to that 50-50 balance on early downs, especially on first down, they have the most success because they're on schedule and in rhythm. And you go back, you look at Ohio State, a couple of plays here and there, it felt like they just didn't execute and couldn't find that true groove. And then Miami of Ohio was the execution as well. It wasn't going well. They had a couple drops and then abandoned the passing game. And then going to Colorado, they just hit them with physicality and left with the W. But against Bowling Green, it's these long developing routes, couldn't protect well. D-line was getting downhill and they had no answer for it. No screen passes. They didn't run any of those. And they got to find a way to have the quick passing game, the screen game, complement the rushing attack, because right now they're not creating enough yards after the catch opportunities.
All right, so you covered the game. You watched the game. I saw very little of the game, and I'm being fully transparent. Man, I've never seen a stat line like this for Tanner Morgan. Like, what was going on with the passing game? What was that about?
Passing game, just long developing routes, like I said, facing pressure. Morgan was under pressure on 45.5% of his dropbacks. It was one of the highest rates in the country last week. And Falele didn't play well on the right side. They were sending some blitzes, nickel blitz off the edge twice that didn't get picked up correctly. And that's, you know, maybe not a right protection call, some communication issues up front. So the offensive line had a really poor day, but that tied into the play calling. A lot of long developing routes and deep drops. Minnesota only used play action at a 36% clip. So that's something that Tanner Morgan does really well and didn't have that going. And then Chris Ottman Bell got hurt on the second play of the game, and P.J. Fleck was indicating today that a large majority of the game plan was built around Chris Ottman Bell. And when he left, they were sent in to try to adapt, and then offensively, they didn't execute. They didn't hit a couple of deep balls he wasn't real happy about. And then they decided they were going to try to run the football the rest of the way. But that's how it's went. You know, the passing game, they haven't been able to find that rhythm schematically, and it's put a lot of pressure on them because they've had to run the football and they've leaned on it so much that they got to try to turn that dial back the other way, because Tanner Morgan, he hasn't been able to find any rhythm, and the offense isn't really suiting to his strengths right now.
Talking to Daniel House, give him a follow on Twitter at Daniel House NFL and also at Gophers Guru. We're talking Gophers football here on Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, so I saw this from every single newspaper reporter and several other people in town, columnists and people that cover Gopher football, and I'm going to just go ahead and ask you the question. Is this the worst loss in the P.J. Fleck era?
Oh, it's easily the worst loss in the P.J. Fleck era. 31-point underdog coming into Huntington Bank Stadium and leaving with a win, and the defense played well enough to win the game. They get you a takeaway late, and really, you look at the data, the defense had an excellent, excellent performance for the second straight week, and I feel like they're starting to catch stride, but it's this offense and not being able to make the adjustment. Bowling Green was getting really aggressive with their fronts and moving guys around and tweaking things and their coverages. They were disguising stuff, and the Gophers just had absolutely no answer for it. And when you're playing a team like that, that they were a heavy, you know, play action, move the pocket, throw the ball in space. And I just thought that, you know, the defense did a pretty good job, but the mistakes too, I mean, special teams, roughing the punter penalty, two illegal formation infractions on field goals, a missed field goal, and then Trey Potts bobbles a punt, nearly gave Bowling Green a chance to ice the game, and he's fielding the ball like 15 yards too deep. If he fields it cleanly and at the normal depth, he probably takes it the distance, and maybe they end up winning that game. But it's just these mistakes and the execution, and you got drops here and there, and then maybe a route's not run right, and then you got all these schematic things. And for them to do that against a team like Bowling Green that I thought, honestly, physically, I thought the Gophers were going to come out and blow them off the ball and just muscle their way to a win. And for them not to be able to do that, that was very concerning.
Well, Daniel, this is probably a dumb question, but I'm just going to go ahead and ask it anyway because I didn't see much of the game. But with Trey Potts having such a good day, why wouldn't they just try to pound the rock a little bit more?
They just weren't having enough success on early downs, Blake. I mean, the rushing success rate was 30%, so they're getting behind the sticks and weren't converting in those later down situations because the Bowling Green pass rush was just taking over and the offensive line wasn't playing as well. And like I said, those longer developing routes, not a lot of underneath options for Morgan to hit on a couple of the plays. And then he missed, you know, open receivers a couple of times. And it just, the passing game does not have that 2019 vibe where you're able to open things up with the RPO game, get guys out of the box against the run, force them to have to cover it. And then, you know, it's cat and mouse. Do you want to bring an extra guy into the box to stop the run? Or do you want to play coverage and take away the RPO and then sit with that inside leverage and come back outside? Minnesota does not really create a lot of yards after the catch opportunities, which is something I'm going to touch on this week in a piece. And they also don't throw the ball enough outside the numbers, which is something I think is a big opportunity. So lots of things they got to fix offensively. But I think the defense has improved every week. And it's something they can build off of if they can somehow figure out what is going on with the offense.
You know, one of the things that's it's sad about all of this, Daniel, is that after the Ohio State loss, right, like that's an understandable thing. And then you don't really look that great against Miami of Ohio, but you get the victory. And then you go on the road and you blow out Colorado, right? I mean, you don't give up anything. It seems like in the blink of an eye, the optimism for the season at least – has waned a little bit since Saturday, just in the eyes of Gopher fans, because if you go out there and do what you're expected to do, and that's blow out Bowling Green, then I think that Gopher fans are looking at Purdue and Nebraska and they're, you know, Maryland, whatever, and they're feeling good. I don't know how Gopher fans feel excited for what they thought was going to be the start of the Big Ten season to what it's realistically going to be now.
And that's the disappointing part is I just see the talent, especially, you know, all the experience that they had coming back and the potential with Tanner Morgan and all these things. I know, like, Chris Amon-Bell hasn't been available, which is definitely hurt the offense, and then Mo Ibrahim gets hurt. So, they've had some variables there on that side of the ball. However, it's now being able to adapt and fix some things, use that quick passing game to, you know, make up for some of the deficiencies that you have getting separation downfield. There just hasn't been that adaptation offensively. Now, you go to Purdue this week, and then you got the bye week, so do you regroup a little bit offensively, add some new things in? But you just look, Lake, at the trend under P.J. Fleck with these non-conference games. They're all close. You think about 2019, that Georgia Southern game, it's like 3rd and 26, and somehow they convert, go all the way up the field and get that game-winning drive. And you were waiting for that against Bowling Green when they had the ball at the end going, okay, is this going to be the Georgia Southern moment that turns the tide of the season? And they just couldn't do that. It feels like this offense is just laboring up the field and, you know, waiting till that last second for the play clock to wind down, which gives the offense, you know, the defense so much time to get set. Nick Saban was actually just talking about that on the Manning broadcast. He's like, one of the toughest things as a defensive coordinator is when these teams use tempo, because the defense can't sit there and think about their alignment and get set. Where Minnesota, that's something they just wait until that play clock bleeds all the way down and then call the play, which is another way that they're easier to defend.
Daniel House, Gophers guru, joining us here on Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO. Give him a follow on Twitter at Daniel House NFL. So we have 8 Big Ten games remaining because we kicked it off with Ohio State. So now basically the rest of the schedule, all Big Ten. 8 games. What do you think is the best case scenario in terms of wins? And don't say 8-0 because, you know, they're not going to run the table the rest of the way. But what's realistic for Gopher fans out there?
I don't like the Maryland matchup at all. Maryland, they use tempo.
No, I don't either.
Action game, passing match. I do not like that matchup at all. You're going to have to play really well against Nebraska. Nebraska's been playing better. They've been improving. They got good physicality up front. I think that could create some issues. But, you know, I think they can beat Purdue if they play a good game. They got good physicality up front. I think that could create some issues. But, you know, I think they can beat Purdue if they play a good game. Northwestern's probably definitely a game that they can win. Illinois, but then going to Iowa, I don't see them being able to match up well against them. And then going on the road to Indiana, and, you know, Wisconsin's not playing well at all right now offensively. I mean, just an absolute mess. And Mertz is struggling, and the play calling hasn't been good. So, I mean, is it 3 or 4 more wins? I mean, it's just so hard to know. This team has been so inconsistent from week to week where you're like, okay, a couple plays here and there against Ohio State. Did not play poorly than Miami of Ohio, playing down to the competition, but squeak out a win, then go to Colorado, look really good on the road. Colorado has been struggling, but to be able to go out there and muscle through them and then to have that performance against Bowling Green, how does this team respond? I think it's just really hard to get a read on this team. And when you see what they do against Purdue, I think it's going to be telling, and it will set the tone for the season, because if you can win that game, go into the bye week and regroup, maybe you can figure this thing out.
I really do hope that the Gophers can get back on track against Purdue and beat Nebraska. I can't stand Nebraska, because you're right. And I've said this to people for weeks. Maryland, I don't see it. Maryland's playmakers are going to give us a lot of problems. I mean, they've got some speed, and they've got some. I mean, they've got some skill position players, man, that are dynamic. So that's going to be and that's the one that I think a lot of Gopher fans are like, okay, we'll beat Maryland. If you've watched Maryland, though, you can see how good Maryland can be.
Yeah, I mean, Maryland, I feel like nobody's talking about that. I mean, Dante Demas and Rakeem Jarrett and all these explosive playmakers, Jayshon Jones, like, and Loxley's got the offense kicking with Tagovailoa, and just I love their offensive system, and they create a lot of yards after the catch, and they're using the RPO game and play action, and that will be a very tricky matchup because of the motion and the misdirection that they have. And so Minnesota, they got to figure this out offensively. I feel like the defense has shown that they're getting better every single week, and you're seeing the personnel flash there, but gosh, you have to get this offense figured out schematically, and I don't know. We'll see what happens, Lake.
Hey, Daniel, always a pleasure to have you on the show, man. Thanks for talking Gopher football tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me, Lake.
All right, that's Daniel House. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Daniel House NFL, but he does a phenomenal job at Gophers Guru. We'll take a break, close out hour two coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.